turn to Galatians chapter 2 again. Galatians chapter 2, where Paul is recounting to the Galatians his words that he spoke to Peter, and I'm dealing with just the one verse, verse 21, where Paul says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Now last week we looked at this fact. God's grace cannot be frustrated.
Amen.
Men may lie about God's grace. They do lie about God's grace. They may twist and distort the truth of God's grace.
Oh yeah.
But fallen humanity, even the devils themselves, cannot frustrate the grace of God.
Amen.
Now, there are three things here that Paul mentions. These three things are vitally linked in an inseparable union. That is God's grace, Christ's death, and righteousness.
Amen.
They're inseparably linked together. First of all, God's grace and Christ's death are merged together. We read that from Paul in Hebrews chapter 2. And let me turn to it. I don't want to misread it or misquote it. Hebrews 2 and verse 9, he said, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he," what? "By the grace of God, should taste death." And he tasted it like no other human being ever tasted it. "That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." I remember story a preacher told about a denomination. They actually split because of this phrase, "every man." And it's in the neuter, so they say it should be that everything. And they actually argued that Christ, some were saying Christ only died for men, others were saying he died for everything. You know? Nonsensical stuff. "That he, by the grace of God, should taste death, not just for Jews, not just for Hebrews, but for Gentiles also." That's what he's talking about. "Not just for men, but also for women as well. Not just for the poor, but for some who are rich as well." That's what it's talking about. But notice that he, by what? The grace of God. See how it's connected? "That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man."
Amen.
Secondly, Christ's death and righteousness are merged together. We read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, where Paul says, "For he," that is God the Father, "hath made him," that is Christ the Son, "for he hath made him to be sin for us." That took place in his death on the cross. The only place where it took place. That took place in his death on the cross. "He who knew no sin," why? "That we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So much so that the Lord Jesus Christ actually says, for believers, we have a good heart.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah. Called a good and honest heart. Now, where in the world did that come from?
Amen.
That come from God Almighty.
Amen. Exactly.
And let me say this, even the gospel don't make your heart good. The gospel has to fall into a good and honest heart.
Amen.
That's the only place that true fruit will ever come forth, Joe.
Amen.
So Christ's death and righteousness are merged together. Then the third way, thirdly, God's grace and righteousness are merged together in Christ's death. Look at Romans chapter 3. And we'll probably be parking here in Romans 3 for a moment. Romans chapter 3, listen to what Paul writes, verse 21. "But now, the righteousness of God without the law."
Amen.
And let us remember now, let me say something here. Jesus Christ does not make us legally righteous. We're made the righteousness of God in Him.
Amen.
That's a righteousness that's superior even to legal righteousness.
Yes, sir.
But, let's go on. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ." Notice, the righteousness of faith. Faith is righteous. Faith is righteousness. And intrinsically, it dwells only in Christ. But we have that faith given to us in measure. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Faith is. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned.
Amen.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified, what? Freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. So that's the title of my message, God's Grace, Christ's death, and righteousness. Now, there are two unassailable facts about righteousness in the Scriptures. Let me give you those two things. Here's the positive side. The only righteousness which honors God is that righteousness wherein the thrice holy God can be just and at the same time justify sinners who believe in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Any other righteousness is not acceptable unto God, because God is holy above all else. And He must still retain, David writes, His holiness even when He saves. No, especially when He saves a sinner, even the believing sinner. And we read that according to what Paul says. Look at it, verse 25 here. Whom God hath set forth a propitiation. That's the best way to read that. The to be there.
Yeah.
He didn't set him forth to be. He set him forth the propitiation through faith in His blood. That's God's faith in His Son's blood.
Yeah. Yes.
To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And remember, this is in light of we've all sinned.
That's exactly right.
And come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
It is only in Jesus Christ that true righteousness is found.
Amen.
True righteousness is, as I said, inseparably, vitally linked together with God's grace and Christ's death. The negative is this. Here's the second thing. That righteousness, that's the righteousness of number one, what I've just given you. That righteousness is never wrought by a fallen man's will, or by a fallen man's work, or by a fallen man's worth.
That's right.
Never. Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by law, then Christ is dead in vain. And that's even hard to say.
Right.
Not that it's not, it's true. But that's still, even to think the thought that Christ died in vain. And yet, you know, there are thousands of people, millions, yea, millions, that teach that very thing.
You're right.
They believe that Jesus Christ shed His blood and died by the grace of God for all without exception. And most end up going to hell anyway. That's a vain death.
Yep.
Is it not? It's a vain death. And Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, I said, this righteousness is never wrought by fallen man's will, fallen man's work, or fallen man's worth. And the Scripture tells us that.
Yes, sir.
Park right here with me in Romans 3 for a moment. Mm-hmm. Now, we know that Paul says in verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? That is the Jew better than the Gentile? The Jews had a lot of advantage.
Yes, they did. Yeah.
But they weren't better.
Exactly.
What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin.
Amen.
Now, men and women in general, and religion, so-called Christian religion in particular, looks at these next few verses of Romans chapter 3 as though here is an indictment of really bad sinners. No, this is an indictment of us all.
Every sinner. That's right.
And compared amongst ourselves, it's an indictment of the best of us.
Yes.
And the worst of us.
Exactly.
We're all indicted together. And even on top of that, most people, when they look at Romans chapter 3 in these next few verses, they think this is just a list of things that men do wrong.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what they think this indictment is. But it's not. Paul right here says that this righteousness is not of man's will. We'll look at it.
Yeah.
It's not of man's work.
Yeah.
We'll look at it. And it's not of man's worth. All three of these things are right here in Romans chapter 3, specifically verses 9 all the way down through verse 20. Look, I said it's not of man's will. Look at chapter 3, verse 11. There is none that understandeth.
Yeah. Amen.
The will is engaged in understanding.
Yes, it is.
Is it not?
Yes, it is.
It's not just something that we do, although understanding is doing, but it has to engage the will. There's none that understandeth. There is none that what? Seeketh after God.
Amen.
This is an indictment against the whole human race.
Exactly.
And it's an indictment of our will.
Yes.
You see it? It's not just, here's some bad deeds. We do. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Look at verse 17 and 18. The way of peace have they not known. You see that? That has to do with the will. The mind.
Yes, sir.
The affections. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So nobody understands.
Yep.
Nobody seeks.
Yep.
Nobody knows the way of peace. And nobody fears God.
That's right.
By nature. No one does. If anyone does, it can only be by act of God's will, not an act of human will.
Amen.
You see it? There is no fear of God before their eyes. So we see that this righteousness is not wrought by human will. Secondly, it's not wrought by human works. Look at it. The middle part of verse 12. Now it says, they're all gone out of the way. They are together become, what?
Yeah.
Unprofitable. You see?
Exactly.
Unprofitable. It's not by our work. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that what? Doeth good. No, not one.
Amen.
That's an indictment of our work.
Yes, sir.
Our effort.
Exactly.
No matter how religious that effort might be.
Oh, yeah.
It's still not God good.
Exactly.
It might be man good. Humanity, one man, one fallen man may look upon another fallen man and say, what a good man he is. But that's not the way God sees it.
Exactly.
And this is what religion refuses to see. Joe, just like you was talking about, if God says you're clean, it don't matter what everybody else sees about you.
Exactly.
But I'll tell you this, it don't matter what everybody else says about you or sees about you. Man may say you're good, but God says you're not.
Exactly.
God says, I'm not by nature. I'm not by nature. Look at verse 13. Their throat is an open sepulcher. In other words, you know what would come out of an open sepulcher, don't you?
Yeah.
Stink and rot.
Yeah.
Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. You see it?
Exactly.
So it's not of man's will. It's not of man's work. It's not of man's worth either, is it? Look at verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Know what it says? There is none righteous, not even one. No, not one. Now, to say there's none righteous ought to be enough.
Yeah.
But we're so unrighteous that we have to be told over and over. There's none righteous. No, not one. Well, but God has to accept this. It's so righteous. So we say.
Yeah.
But God says no.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, self-justification is called one of the linked among many abominations. It says that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in God's sight. And he ain't talking about homosexuality there.
No.
You know that? Now, that's called an abomination in the Old Testament. But he calls justifying your own self an abomination just as wicked and filthy as is the abominations of sexual immorality and wrong. Doesn't he? That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination. Why? Because there is none righteous.
Amen.
There is none righteous, no, not one. It's not of a man's worth. Look at it. They are together, I done read it, they are together become what? Unprofitable.
Yeah.
Unprofitable. So, right here, People say, where does the Bible teach it's not of man's will, not of man's work, not of man's worth? In the Old Testament and in the New. Because Paul is quoting from the Old Testament right here.
That's right.
It is not of man. This righteousness is not of man's will. It's not of man's work. It's not of man's worth. All of this, Paul then goes on to say, the very law itself confirms it. Verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. And as Earl used to say, the law says, shut up.
Amen.
When you start to brag about yourself, the law says, shut up.
Amen.
That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty. And here's the kicker, before God.
Amen.
That's our problem.
Amen.
My problem's not how you see me.
Yeah.
My problem's not how I see you.
Exactly.
Sometimes I look quite highly on you. And other times I don't. But that's not the point, is it?
No, it's not.
And sometimes you probably don't think all too highly of me. Boy, it was really quiet there. Joe's the only one said it. What matters is how God sees us.
Amen.
That's what matters. And God sees us better than we even see ourselves. You know, that's the frightening thing. He knows me better than I know myself.
Exactly.
Because I still sometimes try to justify my sin.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I couldn't help it, or this happened, or that happened.
Yeah.
You know, the devil made me do it.
Yeah.
You know, the devil tempted me. But here's what Paul says. The law declares clearly that this righteousness is not of a man's will, it's not of a man's work, and it's not of a man's worth. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And that is only for people that God opens up their eyes to.
That's right.
See?
Yeah.
Because most people, when they read the law, they think pretty highly of themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that what that one rich young ruler said?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He said, Christ said, keep the commandments. He said, well, you know, I've done all that for my youth. What lack I yet?
Yeah.
Now, he understood he still lacked, but he didn't really understand how much he really lacked. Because then when Christ put him to the test, he said, you go sell everything you've got and you give it to the poor. You take up your cross, you follow me. And he went away sorrowful, for he had great riches. You see, all of this, Paul says, the law confirms. And when men read it, and then they talk about free will, then it's clear they don't know what the law is saying.
Exactly.
Because the law says, when it comes to bragging about yourself, just shut up. You're guilty in God's sight. Now, take ear now. May God give you ears to hear. Paul here in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21, Paul does not make righteousness a matter of Christ's life only. As a matter of fact, he didn't say, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by law, then Christ lived in vain. Does he say that? No, he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So Paul does not make righteousness a matter of Christ's life only. His life was a righteous life.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And don't get me wrong in what I'm saying. No. His life was a righteous life. But I'm saying this, apart from his death, no matter what righteousness he wrought in his life, we'd still perish.
Amen.
That's right.
God could have imputed, Joe, to me, every ounce of righteousness that Christ wrought in his life.
Yeah.
If he didn't die for me, die for my sin, I'll still perish and go to hell.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by law, then Christ is dead in vain. Because the death of Christ is the crux of it all.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You see, Christ's holy life manifests Him to be the Lamb without spot, without blemish.
Amen.
It most definitely did. And His life wrought what the law positively demands. The law says, do this. Christ did it.
Amen.
Right? The law says, don't do this. He didn't do it.
Yeah.
Right? But the law also says that to me. And I've broken that law.
Yes, sir.
And that law must be honored. That law must be satisfied. And it wasn't satisfied merely by his life. It was satisfied on the positive side by his life. But the negative side of the law was satisfied how? By his death.
Amen.
Now think about it. Christ's holy life manifests him as the Lamb without spot and blemish. His life wrought what the law positively demands. But only his death could satisfy our negative and deliberate offense of the law.
Exactly.
Sin and sins must be dealt with.
Yes.
And all the righteousness in all the world would not being imputed thus even by faith does not satisfy sins and sin.
That's right.
Only the death of the perfect sacrifice.
Amen.
Only the substitutionary sacrifice could satisfy that side of the law.
Exactly.
You see, sin and sins must be dealt with, and only death can do that. The soul that sinneth, it shall what?
Die.
And the Scripture says God made His soul an offering for sin. Isn't that what it says?
Amen.
He made even Amen. His... He didn't just suffer physically. He suffered in a way that we will never comprehend. And thank God for it.
Amen. That's right.
Thank God for it. His death is declared to, was declared to be what? Obedience.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that what Paul said? It was referred to us. Philippians chapter 2. Well, this is what he says. Philippians 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became," what? "Obedient." What? "In his life?" Yes, certainly in his life, but obedient unto death.
Amen.
Even the death of the cross.
Amen.
You see, the righteousness we need was not wrought merely by how Christ lived.
Exactly.
But it was wrought by how Christ died.
Amen.
I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by law, then Christ is what? Dead. Not lived in vain. Christ is dead in vain.
Amen.
You see, Christ's death was a righteous act.
Yes, sir.
Christ's Amen. Death was a righteous. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And because of that, God highly exalted him.
Amen.
God highly exalted him. So Christ's death was a righteous act in satisfaction of divine justice. The law says, don't do this. I've done all that. The law says you're supposed to do all this. I've done none of that. And Christ cannot impute to me even divine righteousness and satisfy that problem. He had to die the death of the wicked. He had to die as though he were the one deserving to be punished. And you know what? When he died, he did deserve, because God seen sin in him. It says he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. I can't explain that, but that's just the way it is.
Yes,
and when God the Father seen that, God turned his back on the Son.
That's exactly right.
And it should have been me that God turned his back on.
Exactly.
But he didn't. And he didn't turn his back on you.
Amen.
See, it is no wonder then that Paul wrote these words in Philippians chapter 3. Look at what he says. He says this. Verse 7 of Philippians 3. "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in Him." Now look at it. "And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness." Paul says, I put it away from me. I'm not looking for my own righteousness.
Yeah.
It don't exist. You'll look in vain.
Exactly.
And if you think you found it, you'll perish before God, because God don't see it.
Amen.
Right, that's right.
God says we're guilty in His sight,
yeah,
in ourselves,
yeah,
and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. So even legal righteousness don't cut it.
That's right.
Right?
Exactly.
See what he says?
Yeah.
Even if I could, Joe,
exactly,
do all the law, I still don't honor God, but we don't keep the law.
Exactly.
We don't keep the law. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings be made conformable unto His death. In other words, Paul saying Christ is everything.
Yeah.
Right? Christ is everything. It's no wonder that Paul would write these words. It's no wonder that Paul would say, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by law, Christ died in vain. But Paul knew that Jesus Christ did not die in vain.
Amen. That's right.
Here's the question. Is Christ and being found in Him the center of my being?
Yeah.
And I'm the only one that can answer that for me. I can't answer that for you.
Yeah. You're right.
I can't prove to you one way or the other whether that's true of you or not. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit.
Yeah.
And mine only.
Exactly.
With me. And His Spirit has to bear witness with your spirit. Here, is this the center of my being? That Jesus Christ is everything to me.
Amen.
And that's where it's all at. Because if anything else is more important to me, then that's where I'm standing.
Exactly.
That's where I'm found. And when all this is wrapped up in the end, and all men stand before a holy, thrice holy God at the great white throne, it says there will be, when they're standing there, there will be no place found for them. From His face, the heaven and the earth do what? They flee away.
That's right.
And said, men shall be judged out of the things written in the books. Amen. That's God's Word.
Yeah.
And we don't meet up with God's Word.
That's exactly right.
My only hope is Him.
Amen.
My only hope is to be, not having my own righteousness, but to be found in Him. To be found in Him. Is that the center of my being? And that's how simple it is.
Yes, sir.
That's what faith really is. Is Christ the center of my being?
Exactly.
Is everything else, when it's compared to Him, Joe? I love that woman right back there. But compared to Him, honey, you're nothing. I know she loves me, but compared to Him, I'm nothing.
There you go.
You know what I mean? Legal righteousness, that's glorious, Joe, but it's a glorious condemnation of death.
There you go.
It don't compare to Him.
Amen.
He is the glory that excelleth.
Yes.
Amen. The law is glorious, but it's a glorious death. He's glorious life.
Amen.
He's glorious life. Father, I pray that You constantly teach us these things. Constantly calls us to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, God bless us in Christ. Amen.
Amen.